This is Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. January is a great time to commit to New Year's resolutions and immerse yourself in community events. Since the COVID-19 pandemic began, Adam Carr from the Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service has joined Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about some of the community events happening right here. The list includes a wide array of things to enjoy, both virtually and in person.
So with this idea of a new year, new you, the first event that we're going to talk about is one of those things that I think everybody starts the new year wanting to do, and this is a great opportunity.
For sure. Our first item is yoga with Malkia Stampley Johnson, which is hosted by the Milwaukee Turners. So the Milwaukee Turners has a really deep and long history in Milwaukee. They have been around since 1853. They've gone through all these different eras, and people know them for obviously the Turner Hall on 4th Street or Velar Phillips Avenue. They also do all these kinds of different programmings around social justice and civic engagement. They actually have a new executive director, Emilio De Torre, who used to be at ACLU of Wisconsin, and he started over the summer and has immediately started to activate Milwaukee Turners in all these different ways. So they've been doing blood drives, food drives. They've been supporting groups like Iuta Mutua and Metcalf Park Community Bridges with donation drives. And on Mondays and Wednesdays, I noticed this stream come up in my Facebook feed. They have been doing yoga with Malkia Stampley Johnson, who is a phenomenal, just sort of a TV, film, stage actress. She's a producer. She directs. She does all kinds of things. She's from this phenomenal Milwaukee family of creative luminaries. And Malkia, one of the things she does, she cares a lot about wellness. She's been doing yoga. And I think she's a great teacher. You know, sometimes I can find yoga intimidating personally because I'm expert at it, but it looks like it's a gentle introduction for folks to make sure they're staying healthy. And the tagline they've been using is "A healthy you builds a stronger community," which I love, especially during a pandemic when it's pretty easy not to be healthy.
It's true. We were talking about this a bit before the interview. I happen to know Malkia from my old days at the American Girl store when I used to play a doll way back in the day. It's an odd thing to have on your resume, but Malkia is one of those people who's just a ray of sunshine all the time. So a great way to lighten up the winter.
Yeah, anytime I get to interact with her. Actually, this sort of predicts our next one. I saw her on a King Day celebration a few years ago, and you know, that was a wonderful, profound day of all the different activities I got to engage in. And my conversation with her stood out that day because she was in the middle of a month-long juice fast while we were talking. So, yeah, that actually is a transition then into our next one.
Yeah, so we have a couple events to talk about. King Day celebrations, two different ones.
Yeah, it's worth stating every year that since 1984, Milwaukee and Atlanta, Georgia have been celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. And they're the cities that have been celebrating it the longest with continuous programming. Our kind of signature as a city program happens at the Marcus Center. They've been hosting it. And I think that the thing that I associate it with it is the writing, speech, and art contest they do with students in Milwaukee and actually around southeastern Wisconsin. And this year, they have pivoted, like many have, to a virtual format. So it's happening on Sunday, January 17th at 1 p.m. is when they're doing their virtual event. Their theme this year, so I'm sure that they'll, you know, speeches and writing and performances, they'll have those digitally. Their theme this year is Keep Moving Forward, which was taken from Dr. King's address, Keep Moving the Mountain, from 1960. So I think Keep Moving Forward is a really, especially as we kind of look into 2021 and we're not sure how long the world will be disrupted in the way that it has been, how long that will keep moving. I will say I always look forward to the speeches and the inspiration of the MPS students and school students from around the region. Sometimes it can be easy to forget that there's kids that are filled with talent and inspiration, and I love seeing those speeches every year.
With this idea of a call to action, really, the next event is similarly a call to action, but on Inauguration Day.
Absolutely. So the Brown Berets There's chapters of the Brown Berets around the country. They're a pro-Chicano organization that emerged in the late 60s during the Chicano movement. Milwaukee had a chapter back then. And recently, I personally have just been hearing more from the local chapter of the Brown Berets. For Hispanic Heritage Month, a writer and activist named Juan Miguel Martinez wrote for us kind of his 17-year journey of joining the Brown Berets. So that's at MilwaukeeNNS.org. It was a really great piece and reflection that he wrote. We even had Drea Rodriguez, another Brown Beret, write for us recently about some of her goals as a Brown Beret. And the group is hosting on Inauguration Day, so January 20th, they're hosting a call to action to stop family separation and working on comprehensive immigration reform. They're doing that at a very appropriate location on Cesar Chavez Drive outside of the El Rey, which I assume will be right at the statue of Cesar Chavez, kind of in the shadow of the Si Se Puede mural that's there, done by C.K. Ledesma. So the Brown Berets are a group that I've definitely seen kind of get active in Milwaukee in this last period of time, and they're kind of making their voice be heard on January 20th for Inauguration Day.
That kind of ties into this next item. I should say our conversations are always called five things to do, and sometimes they're events, but sometimes they're things that you can do at home. And this is one of those, a new documentary that's looking at Wisconsin's Latino community.
Absolutely. My colleague, reporter Ana Martinez Ortiz, recently wrote an article on the Latino Wisconsin documentary that came out last year, but is kind of still being distributed. I know that you recently had one of the producers of the film, Georgia Pabst, on your show. She's a fourth generation Mexican-American, and I think many folks know her as a reporter from the Milwaukee Journal and Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where she spent 30 years. Her and her husband collaborated to really become filmmakers. They went out to seek this story of Latinos in like locally, and they kind of thought of it as a Milwaukee story, but it ended up becoming something that had a statewide scope. So they interviewed some folks locally, some luminaries here, like the artist Reynaldo Hernandez or Tony Baez, Christine Newman Ortiz from Voces de la Frontera. So some local folks are part of it. But what I haven't yet seen it. So you can go to their website. If you look up the Latino Wisconsin documentary, it'll come up. It's not just a Milwaukee story. It looks at how those connections spread out throughout the state. And I think to me, that's a story that, you know, Sergio Cazaz, who is a history professor at Marquette, recently wrote a book named Mexicans in Wisconsin. So I think just looking at our story is not just a Milwaukee story, but how it's connected, specifically that Latino lens. I'm really excited to see this documentary. That is a very worthy use of an evening. And you can just stream the documentary in full online.
Nice. So this last item is, I believe, a project that you're a part of.
It is. So Vel R. Phillips Juvenile Detention Center, it's out kind of on the right in Wauwatosa and by the county grounds. I've had a chance to go and visit there a few times to do some education programming with a colleague of mine. And the young people there, the young men and young women, are really, you know, you could come in with assumptions about how they might be approaching school while they're in the juvenile detention center. And every time I visit there, it's been a handful of times, I'm just blown away by the engagement from the young people in there. And the educators that work with them are really phenomenal. They started a newsletter called Vel's Voice, so after their namesake, Vel Phillips. And it's a monthly newsletter that they just started. I saw the first one and I thought, wow, I mean, one of my hats that I wear at Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service is I think about our Community Voices column. And I thought some of this writing that they have could, you know, sit shoulder to shoulder with the other great writing we have from community members. So we worked out, you know, obviously for there's confidentiality involved, so the students don't put their name directly on the writing, but the students' writing is available. And for the first one we published, the first piece from students, they were comparing the NBA bubble to their experience inside of the Vel Phillips Juvenile Detention Center. And I thought it was kind of fascinating to hear them articulate those comparisons between, you know, this thing happening down at Disney World and then this thing happening here in Milwaukee and something they were a part of. So I'm really looking forward to, we're going to be working with them on a monthly basis and publishing some of their work. So you can go to Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service, find the piece from Vel's voice that we published this month and read the whole newsletter. You know, especially during these times of pandemic, like we're kind of divided from each other. And I think some of the populations that are part of our community, we don't think of, it's a perfect time to connect with them. So I think the young men and young women that are at Vel Phillips Juvenile Detention Center, this is a way to hear from them directly and hear their words.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing more from them, reading their stories. And I look forward to talking to you next month about the many things to do in Milwaukee.
Absolutely. And Happy New Year to all your listeners. And I look forward to being with you in February.
Adam Carr is the deputy editor for community engagement at the Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service.